Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay and Misty Hall. We're here for the Straight Wives Show tonight, and we want to welcome you. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-host is Misty Hall, and I discuss the issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So good evening, Misty. How are you?
I'm great. Good evening, Bonnie. How are you tonight?
Panicky, because we were having trouble getting onto our show.
I know. And, I didn't know if we were going to make it on time.
I know. They were having a little screw-up tonight on Blog Talk Radio. But not to worry. We're here. Shoo. But anyway, I would like to give you our call-in number in case you would like to dial in tonight and talk to either Misty or me. And the number is 1-646-716-4893. And if you have a pencil, I'll repeat that number for you again. It is area code 646-716-4893. And Misty and I would be very happy to hear you if you'd like to call in and discuss any issues that might be concerning you. And how has your week been, Misty?
Oh, it's been wonderful. It's been very eventful, I guess you can say. Yesterday was wonderful, and I'd like to dedicate part of the show or all of the show tonight to a dear straight wife that I got to meet in person. I won't say her name, but it was... It's so wonderful when you get to meet some of these straight women in person, and just the energy of getting to see them and just see how wonderful and beautiful and professional and smart and brilliant all these women are that we work with. And it was just lovely. We had a great time together. It was very short, but our paths were able to cross. It was wonderful. It made my week. So it's so nice to meet them in person. You know, you talk to them over the phone and over the internet and online to try to help and, you know, work through them, and you get to know them on such a personal level. It always helps to actually get to meet them in person. That's sort of the icing on top of the cake. So I had a wonderful evening with her yesterday.
I'm so glad to hear that. I always feel that live support is always the ultimate best support. But unfortunately, if we can't meet live, at least we can connect with you through our radio show or through our online support chat or through Misty's counseling sessions. And talking about live support and having the chance to meet people, we're still really excited about our upcoming November Florida weekend. It's getting closer, Misty.
I know. Can you believe this? We were planning this last year after we left. We were already, you know, making plans for the one this year. I cannot believe November is up on us again already. Wow.
I know. It's only like a month away.
And
we will gather with our other straight wives and have the opportunity to meet them and spend time and do some healing. And I think it's just going to be such a wonderful weekend. I'm really excited for the women who are coming. And we really have some dynamite women who are returning from last time and some new ones who are coming. But as you saw last night when you met with this young lady, that the best form of support is when you can meet others who can understand exactly what you're going through. Because otherwise you just feel so isolated and alone, and that's why Misty and I try to reach out whenever we can and wherever we can. And it's just like we have our Aussie chat room now for our Australian ladies, and soon we're going to be starting our support group for women in the United Kingdom, and hopefully within the next 2 weeks we're starting our support chat for children of gay fathers, adult children of gay fathers who are dealing with so many of their own issues that, you know, they don't want to discuss with their mothers or their fathers, so they'll have a forum where they can meet other people like them and talk about how these issues have affected them. But I think the main thing is just finding support and feeling like you're not alone. Wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, the lady paid me such a wonderful client. And it's not just for me, but it's for all of us women that have been a straight wife and then go on to help others. She told me yesterday that she absolutely knows by reaching out for support and from someone that understands, because she tried a therapist in her hometown.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I went the first time, and she said she was a great therapist, but she just did not understand what was going on.
Right, I think you have to live it to really feel it, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we did have a caller, Misty, so let's see who's dialing in tonight. Hold on one moment. Hello, you're with Bonnie and Misty.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. This is Bonnie and Misty. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good.
I just found your blog tonight, actually. Hello.
And how can we help you?
I'm just calling because I just have been having some weird things going on in the marriage lately, and just, you know, I've been searching to see if there's any signs and things, like if he really is gay or not, I don't know, but he's just, like, acting so weird, and he recently, like, his best friend just came out, and there's just all these, like, you know, when we have sex, it feels like I'm repulsive to him. It's just really weird.
Well, let me ask you a few questions, and maybe we could help you. Mm-hmm. How long have you been together?
I've been with him since I was 15, and I'm now 26.
Okay, so you've been with him for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And have you ever confronted him on the issue?
Yeah, yep. I just asked him last week, actually, because just so many people, like my friends and stuff, have asked me, like, is your husband gay? Like, just jokingly, and I'll always blow it off. But just, like, recently I just felt like that. I just had, like, this intuition. He's been really secretive. Like, he put on this thing on the computer to where I can't see his history and all this stuff. And
does he have his own password?
Well, I know his password's for, like, you know, all his other stuff, but, like, his email and stuff. But I don't know. He could have other, you know, some things I don't even know about.
Exactly. So what other hints do you have that's giving you this feeling?
We barely have sex. I mean, we've had sex maybe once a month. And he never wants to, like, do anything different or, you know, and he always, like, really acts like, makes fun of gay people, basically, you know. Like, he's always pretending like he's a macho guy, but yet he's not.
Does he have any gay friends?
Yes, his best friend.
Oh, his best friend is gay?
Right, and they were in the Navy together, and they were best friends. I mean, his friend moved from Michigan to live here with us, and he lived with us for a while. And then we didn't know he was gay until just recently he came out.
You mean you didn't know he was gay?
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
So that's exactly what I was thinking, too.
Right, exactly. You can be sure that your husband knew that he was gay. Because men know this stuff.
Yes.
And how long have they been best friends?
Since they met in the Navy, and he left for the Navy 2 months after we met. So about the same amount of time that we've been together.
So he wasn't like a lifetime friend. He met more recently, right?
No, he met him 10 years ago. Same, like, a little bit after we met.
Okay. So, have you been around this friend before?
Oh, yeah. He's lived with us before. He, you know, he always seemed, like, really feminine, baking cakes and stuff like that. And, you know, we'd always tease him about it. And there was a point where my husband and I were separated for, like, 2 months, and they were living together.
Uh-huh.
And my husband never tried to come get me back. I had to be the one to go back to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when I put all these things together, that makes me think that, you know, maybe that could be a possibility.
Well, Misty and I always say that women whose husbands are straight don't bother calling us.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you have this intuitive feeling and something's nagging at you saying that something's not right, it's usually because something's not right.
Right.
Do they spend a lot of time together?
Oh, yeah. And not as much as they do anymore since he came out, which is the weirdest thing. Since he came out, my husband doesn't see him anymore, barely at all, that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but he's still living in your house?
No, he's moved out. He moved out a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he always drove us crazy. I mean, he would always try to get so involved, like, with what we were doing. We'd be laying on the ground in front of the fireplace, and he would come lay with us, and it was so weird.
And did your husband have a problem with that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he didn't really notice until I'd say something. But then he would never go and say, get out of my house, or, you know, like, leave us alone. who never let you up for me.
Misty, what do you feel about this?
Well, you know, Bonnie, what I always say, and first of all, my heart goes out to you. I'm so sorry that you feel like you need to call us because, you know, it's not a, we call it a club sometimes. This is a club
yeah.
that no one wants membership to. It really is.
Yeah.
But, you know, the first thing I always tell women, because there's always such a shroud of doubt, unless the man comes and says, hey, you know, I've got something to tell you, I'm gay. Oftentimes
uh-huh.
that doesn't happen. So there's always yeah. that big looming of thought of not knowing if you're right or wrong. And what I always tell women is trust your intuition. No woman wants to think that of her husband or her mate that she's chosen. It's just not something that a woman wishes to think. And I think Bonnie will vouch for this, and I'll certainly say this. I have never worked with a woman that has come to me for help in this matter that has falsely accused her husband. Usually
oh
the intuition is very strong,
yeah.
and it's not what anybody wants to hear. But I've never had someone come to me that says, you know, I think my husband's gay, and then learn later that they're not. Now, I still work with some women that have never gotten an admission from their
yeah.
husband or ex-husband. But, you know, there's so many little telltale signs sometimes that, you know, that we don't notice or we don't look at because, unfortunately, you know, if you look at Hollywood and all the, you know, it's unfortunate because they portray gay people in such a stereotype that
yeah.
doesn't really meet a lot of these men. You know, there's very macho men that can be gay. There's men that can be gay that love sports, are good at sports, play sports. So they come in all different packages.
Yeah.
You know, we're not given a guidebook and says, okay, this is what it is. There's just lots of little things you have to look at. And I think one is, you know, the frequency of sex. Sex is a very important part of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is the sex, is it, you know, many of the women, if you've ever listened to any of our shows, you'll hear them say that there's such a lack of intimacy that
yeah.
sex is almost like robotically performed.
That's exactly where
connection. Mm-hmm. There's lots of that. So there's lots of little telltale signs, but I will always stick by and say intuition is the strongest
yeah.
predictor. And I had intuition years before I started looking into what was going on, and so I really opened my eyes to some different things. And I just knew something wasn't right. I knew something wasn't right for a long time, and then I started thinking, oh, my God, I think my husband's gay. It was not an easy thought to come up with. It was very hard to
do. Let me ask you this question. Are you happy in your marriage?
Not
honestly speaking,
the way it should be. Like, I always feel something's missing. I always feel like, I don't know, like when, I like he's never really there. Like he says he's admitted to me he's not happy, but he won't tell me why.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think those are all signs that you have to look at.
Yeah.
Because you're
young,
you're only 26 years old.
Yeah, we have
I mean, a man should want to be making love to you on a very regular basis at that age.
That's what I'm saying. I have so many friends, and his friends and stuff will be like, God, your husband's so lucky, you know, like, you know, why doesn't he, you know, how did he get you? I have people say this to me all the time, I'm not being, like, full of myself or whatever, but I feel like, you know, he should be more attracted to me. And I'll
mm-hmm.
do anything that he wants, but he never wants anything.
Right, and he may not be able to come to terms with it himself.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, it
family
takes a lot of time for these guys to finally accept themselves in many cases.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever admit it, though. Because his family's very, very Christian. Like, they are to a T. I mean, very involved with the church. He's been in the church and in a Christian school since he was in kindergarten until he graduated.
Right, and see, that's a big problem, too. You know, these guys really struggle because of the religious aspects of this.
Oh, yeah.
And so many of them get caught up for so long where they don't belong because they can't come to terms with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think that if they do religiously, they've been told their whole lives. You know, there's something wrong with them.
Nope. And his family members?
Maybe you could address that more because you're more on the church side.
Yeah, I would love to address that. That you just described a lot of my history.
Oh, God.
My now ex-husband, he came from a very strict religious family, as is I did myself, too. We came from two different backgrounds, but both were Christian. And I truly believe now, looking back, of course, you have to remember I'm out of this marriage over 10 years. I can look at things a lot differently. I truly believe he did love me when he married me and asked mm-hmm. me to marry him. I believe he thought he could repress it and it would change because mm-hmm. I really think he thought he would lose his family. The church I grew up in, the church he grew up in, flat out told you if you were gay, that's a ticket to hell. That's wrong. Uh-huh. And it can be changed. They saw it as a choice, not as something possibly you're born with. I read that for many years. And, of course, I'm not here to change anyone's belief. But after living with someone and living with him, I don't think he wanted to be gay. I had a very abusive relationship, which is in addition to him being gay. But he did not. I think he fought it on a daily basis, and I think he tried to change it. But he just couldn't. It was who he was, and he wasn't able to live his truth until, you know, hopefully he's living his truth today. But he wasn't able to then because his family, I'm sure he has never come out to his family. If so, I'm sure he would lose a lot of his family because they believe that it is a choice, and it's a choice that is wrong, that's mm-hmm. a choice that would be evil, a choice that he needs to change, straighten up, you know, or... Like I said, a plane ticket to hell. I've heard many sermons in the area I grew up. I grew up in the hills of eastern Kentucky, the Appalachian Mountains, where, you know, either, you know, you're going to hell or you're going to heaven, and anyone will come and tell you why you are, either way, because there's, you know, Christian values are very important to people back there, and Christian values are very important to me. I just have a different set of belief system than what I did when I was married. I'll just put it like that, because I think he did fight it. And, you know, you've got to remember some of these men are told this from the very beginning. Ever since their memory, they can, mm-hmm. you know, remember going to a church service and things like that, that, you know, maybe their thoughts is wrong, that it's not right. So it's difficult for them. It's difficult for us, too, because they think they can change it by marrying us. And then as a straight wife, we really suffer.
Yeah. Well, I definitely believe that because he has an aunt who is gay, and she was never allowed in their house. She was never allowed around him as a child.
Wow, that's sad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
So that's what they're seeing. That's what they're taught. You know, if you come out, you're going to be taken away from the family, pretty much. You know, don't come around.
Mm-hmm.
That happens a lot. It's really sad.
That's scary. I just wish I could find out if it was true or not and have a solid answer, but I guess that doesn't always happen.
It doesn't. A lot of the women, if, you know, really take time to go back and listen to some of the archives because we've had different guests on, and, you know, you really need to sign up for Bonnie's newsletter, and I'm sure she'll tell you how to do that. You will hear, and it's not pretty, the number of statistics of the women, straight wives that do not get an admission. That's why we say it's so important to trust yourself. Because what happens, if you keep doubting yourself, I call it dancing inside the circle of crazy. And what you do, you just change in yourself to try to make it work. And there's nothing to make it work because it's broken. And not that gay is broken, but a gay and straight people together is just, it doesn't fit well together. And the straight wife just keeps trying to change herself, trying to do things different, trying to do more, and you just keep dancing inside that circle of crazy to make it fit, when oftentimes it won't.
No, I feel like I'm really working on it, trying to fix things, if that's not the case, so that I don't feel like it's time to work on anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been my way, and I feel like maybe that's the reason why. You know, maybe he just wants me to go away. Yeah. So then he wouldn't
have you asked him about counseling? Have you and him discussed
counseling
and what's his response to that?
Oh, yeah, maybe we'll think about it, you know, but it never happens, ever. I've gone to therapy myself and tried to figure out how to deal with him because he does get, like, very, he'll, like, just blow up for no reason, and I don't know why. You know, I don't know if maybe that's why he's so stressed out. He's in such a position with his career and things that I would never know if he was or not. Cause he
is he in the Navy now?
No, he's in the
Army.
So I would never know.
The whole thing is that he may not be able to accept this himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these guys really hope that if they're a good husband, that if they can love their wives, then these feelings will go away. But you can see they don't, and they just get more frustrated. And they really feel trapped in these marriages. Not that we're trying to trap them. You know, they've trapped themselves by being married.
Yeah.
But do you ever feel like he feels like he's trapped with you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's exactly how I came to this realization a few weeks ago, was because when we were having sex, I felt like I was forcing him, and like he didn't want to be there. And I felt that. I've never felt
mm-hmm.
that before. And that's what made me start having these feelings really strongly. I've always had it over the past few years, but little things, and I would blow them off. So I would just be like, there's no way. But lately, yeah, it's all I think about. And it's all I try to do is find some type of evidence. But he's so good at covering his tracks. Like, he's so smart with computers and things. I would never be able to find anything.
Well, you have my email address?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's bonk@aol.com.
Yep.
And are you getting my newsletters?
No, I just found your website tonight, so I was actually
okay,
well,
you. Make sure you email me, and also I'll send you some ways you can check different things.
Okay. Sounds good. And make sure you read her newsletters.
I will. Bonnie's newsletters are wonderful, and you will. When you read some of those newsletters, you can change I call it the cast of characters. You can change the names, and if this should be true, you will see your story written in so many of those newsletters. It's amazing
yeah.
at the threads of that are so similar throughout Straight Wives. It's really amazing.
But at your age, you know, you're young, you should be at the top, you know, the height of your life there with him.
Yeah.
And if you're not, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
And as you said, you know, people say you're attractive and that you're a great person. If he's not feeling that way, then, and you know, and all these signals that he's giving off to you, and who knows, maybe he is depressed, maybe something happened between him and his best friend, you don't know.
Yeah. Well, he just recently started seeing somebody, too, and they got serious.
Well, maybe that's what the problem
around.
Is.
And he said it was because he didn't want to be around that. So, like, as in, like, you know.
But that could be why your husband's not feeling, you know, himself.
Yeah.
You know, he could have feelings for this man, and now this man is seeing somebody else. You know, we've seen this happen so many times to so many women.
It's like, how could I not know that this guy, that was his friend, that was my friend, too? How did I not know that they were together? I just can't imagine.
How could you not know that he was gay?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to our world. Do you think we know?
I don't know.
If we knew, we wouldn't be in the situation to start with, right?
Right.
But you have to remember that these guys have been acting their whole lives because they don't want to have to take, you know, the consequences of being gay, so they've learned how to act very straight. And we don't understand gay. You know, we're women who think that gay people go with gay people.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you're a gay man, you want to be with another man. You know, we can't understand why gay men are with straight women. You know, that doesn't, you know, really filter in us. And that's what fools so many women. We don't really understand homosexuality. And a lot of women think that even if they've tried it or they've done something throughout their life that they didn't want it, that they're with us, therefore, they are not gay. You know, and that really keeps women wondering also. You know, just prolongs the inevitable, you know, that it is what it is, that these guys cannot help who they are. But that doesn't mean you have to be doomed to a lifetime of unhappiness. You know, you owe it to yourself to find the happiness that you deserve.
That's exactly all that I want out of this, is to be able to not be, you know, used. I want to be happy.
Do you have children together?
Yes, two.
Yeah, so that always leaves complications because of the fact that, you know, like I say, you have to deal with so many issues now as parents. You're going to be tied to him forever,
exactly.
You know, for your children. But also, one of the things that, you know, when I send you information when you write to me, and if you go back to our radio show from a couple of weeks ago when we're starting a support group from Children of Gays, these marriages have a profound effect on the children. because they role model themselves after their mothers. And if they see that their mothers aren't happy in a marriage, where they see there's not, you know, compassion, passion, intimacy within a marriage, then that's who they pick for their mates when they grow up.
Yeah.
Because they don't see anything different. And, you know, that's one thing that my mother always said to me. She wrote me this beautiful letter when I split up with my ex-husband. And she said to me, she said, you know, your children will someday be proud of you because you need to be a role model to them.
Yeah.
And she was right. I don't want, you know, no matter how much you think you're hiding it from your children, they know when something is wrong. They know when the marriage is off. You know, not right.
Yeah.
And do you have any sisters?
A sister, yeah.
Okay, so let me, are you close with your sister?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so if your sister was in a marriage like yours, would you tell her to stay in it?
No.
Okay, well, you can't expect anything less for yourself than you would expect for a sister.
Well, I mean, I don't expect to stay in it, but it's like, how do you give yourself the permission to leave if you don't know for sure?
You know what? You don't have to know for sure. 50% of marriages in this country break up, and it has nothing to do with gay. They break up because it was the wrong marriage. And he may never come to terms with it. He may never tell you. You know, you may never find out more, although I'm hoping, you know, when you write to me, I'll be able to help you with that. But even if you can't confirm that gay is a reason, having a marriage that's not a marriage for you is a reason.
Yeah.
You know, you're 26 now. Can you see the next 20 years of your life like this?
No, definitely not.
Right. You know, your children, I'm sure, aren't that old. You know, you have to raise them.
Yeah.
And do they want to grow up in an environment where there's a lack of, you know, this kind of parental, you know, love and affection? I mean, isn't that what you want them to see?
Yeah, I definitely do. I don't want them to have to go, have to see mommy unhappy or, you know, not crying all the time. And
exactly.
Going crazy because she doesn't know what's going on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? He can still be a good father to them.
Yeah.
You know, like I say, you can be two good parents under two different roofs and have the best quality with both parents.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we often say in our show, that it's better to come from a broken family than to grow up in a broken family.
That's true.
You know, if something's not right in the family, you need to really try to, you know, fix it the best that you can. And if fixing it means leaving it, then that may be it.
Yeah.
Right?
I definitely think you're right. It's just hard to, you know, to do it, I guess.
You know why it's hard to do it?
Comfortable.
Because a lot of times women feel they need permission from somewhere.
Yeah. I thought they needed permission from him.
Right. But they really feel like they need permission to get out of a bad relationship. And in a relationship where you have to be crying because you're not happy, there's no intimacy, there's no emotional connection, you know, you feel that you're more alone sometimes with somebody than without them.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel that way sometimes?
I feel invisible. I told him that. Yeah.
And so what's and the fact that he doesn't really want to go for counseling, that's the number one sign. When they have something to hide, they don't want to go for counseling.
Yeah, he's not.
They're afraid. No, they're afraid that a counselor will be able to get underneath whatever it is and find out the truth. So I know that my husband, my ex-husband, used to say to me, well, I'm not going for counseling. I don't have a problem in the marriage. You're the one who has the problem.
Oh, that's what he said to me exactly before.
Exactly.
He always turns everything around to make me look like the one that's crazy or I'm the one that doesn't, you know, I must be stupid. I don't know what I'm talking about, you know. He knows exactly how to answer questions the right way because he's been taught that with his career of how to answer something when he knows I'm trying to get something out of him. He knows that you don't get loud and aggressive if you're in denial or whatever, and he knows how to answer them correctly so that there's no way I can try to press it further.
Does he spend a lot of time on the computer?
I think so. I don't really know. You know, he's home during the day and he works at night. Yeah, our schedules are completely opposite.
So you don't know what he's doing when he's home and you're not.
Right.
Yeah. Well, then he has a window of opportunity.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter that, you know, you have to be a detective, which, you know, like I said, I'll be more than happy to help you with to try to uncover what's really going on there.
Definitely.
But the most important thing for you is to just trust your instincts. because we say that women just don't believe this if it's not the case. You know, if anything, you would come up and say to me, well, I think he's having an affair with a woman. You're not saying that.
Right. No, I never, ever thought that about him. It's because
right,
he always...
You're not thinking in that direction.
Right. He doesn't go out with a bunch of guys and about drinking the bars and stuff like that. He doesn't do stuff like that. He never has. He's never made me think bad about him. He only has like one really good friend at a time, and it's always a guy. One really good friend at a time, and he never he doesn't have groups of friends he hangs out with. And I've always wondered why. And then I'm kind of thinking I know why now. Yeah.
Right. And that's very common for gay men not to have other male friends. You know, like
they,
groups of friends.
Do they, when they have like one friend, is that typically like their other friend is gay, or do they, or they just like have a crush on them? Because some of his friends, I can't imagine them being gay either.
Right. But once again, can people imagine your husband being gay?
Right.
Exactly.
Well, some people, a lot of people have said it to me. People who meet him like once, you know, a few years later, they'll just tease me about it. Or, you know, people I went to high school with and they saw us dating when we were younger. You know, people in my family say it too. My brother, my sister, my brother-in-law. You sure he's not gay? You sure he's not gay? You sure he's not gay?
And why are they saying that?
I don't know. I mean, now I guess I know, but then I didn't pay attention to anything. But now I see these little things that he does, you know, like it's the way his hand might move, or I don't know, simple little things. And the fact that, like, he'll, on that last Valentine's Day, he went to a movie with that guy that just came out, the best friend that just came out. He went to a movie with him. And he didn't take me out on Valentine's Day. And none of our holidays or anniversaries are anything special. We never do anything. So
Right. Everybody
kind of laughed about that and joked about it. And I just chalked it up to, that's just the way we are.
Right.
We don't
is the way you are, because there's something wrong there.
And
it
I didn't think
the way
there
you
was
are
wrong.
If everything was right.
And I guess that's not the way it's supposed to be.
No, it's not supposed to be that way. I mean, if you go and watch a movie and you see a love movie, and I'm sure you've seen them on television, you know, where people
that's
are in love with each other, that's the way it's supposed to be. And I'm saying
that's
you're young
I'm
enough where you look around at your friends. I'm sure they're not this way, right?
No, not at all. So
right.
Weird.
I mean, if you were 56, we could have a conversation about it, but not at 26.
Yeah.
And even at 56, I would say something's wrong. But at 26, you know for sure something's wrong.
And
you know, you just know somebody's
tired.
Not on. Huh?
I said he always says like, oh, I'm so tired. I think he's really overtired, or you know.
Excuse me. We know every excuse.
Yeah.
They have a headache.
I
they have a backache. They're under too much stress. They have too much pressure at work. You know, the kids
yes.
are driving them crazy. You know, we know every excuse they come up with.
Yeah.
We've all lived it. And there's millions of us out there. I don't want you to feel like you're isolated. This happens to over 4 million women in this country. You just feel isolated because you're, you know, you don't think you're, there's a lot of people going through this because people don't talk about it.
Yeah.
But with 4 million women out there in the same situation, you can only imagine you are not isolated at all.
That just seems crazy to me that there's that many women going through this and they don't know. Or they may never know.
Well, we've read studies where approximately 66% of gay men said that they will not tell their wives, that they will just never tell them the truth. And that's pretty sad when you think about it.
Yeah, because what are they doing? Cheating on them behind their backs? Or
absolutely. They
never,
certainly are.
I can't imagine them never following that feeling and doing something about it.
Well, I hate to bring this up to you, but since, you know, we are discussing it, you know, I want to tell you that a lot of our women have sexually transmitted diseases because their husbands.
I'd be very worried about that.
Right, and you should be. Before you push them to have sex again, you have to make sure it's safe sex.
Yeah.
Because it only takes one time.
Yeah, and I feel like that's all, you know, that's how rare it is, one time, once a month. But then, you know, I'll push him so much to have it, it feels almost normal then. So I feel like then it goes back in my mind, like, well, maybe he is normal. Well, maybe this is just because he's tired or whatever, whatever. Or he doesn't have a sex drive. I don't know. But then, you know, if we do it again the same month, then it feels like I'm forcing him. So I feel like he does it on purpose.
Right, but you know what? There's nothing more humiliating to a woman, especially at 26 years old, than having to feel that she has to push a guy to have sex with her.
Oh, yeah. It is humiliating. I wanted to cry. I still
right. It takes
way.
Away your whole sense of self-esteem and also sexual esteem, which makes up who we are as women.
Yeah.
You know, it makes us feel really very belittled.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I have so much to give, and he doesn't see it. So why am
exactly.
I waiting around for him to see it?
And that's why I say you're cheating yourself, you know, the time that you spend with him, even though you think that maybe I don't know the truth. It doesn't matter what the truth is. The truth is that there's something wrong with this marriage. And he's not willing to go with you to get help for it. That shows that he's not willing to work with you on the marriage.
Yeah.
You know, these guys who don't want to go for counseling, they have something to hide.
But they want to stay in the marriage, though. They
oh,
don't
of course.
Want to be separated.
You're his source of safety and comfort and security. You know, he doesn't have to do anything. He just has to be there.
Exactly.
Just you know, how are you? Are you working?
Yeah.
Okay, so mm-hmm. financially, can you get by?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of women are afraid to leave for that reason.
I think I could handle it myself, but, you know, there's just always better with two people. You know,
it is, but you know what? You can't buy the happiness. And I always tell women, you can always downsize your life, but at least you can go to bed with peace of mind at night and not have to live under this stress.
Yeah.
You know, living day to day with someone who doesn't want to be with you in a marriage has to be the worst feeling. And of course you're going to wake up being unhappy because you know that you're just existing. You know, it puts you into a state of just feeling like you're existing from day to day.
Exactly
you do what you have to do, you take care of the kids, you do your job, but you don't feel a sense of happiness or exhilaration that you're supposed to be feeling at this point in time.
Yeah. I'm usually sleeping up at bed, everything.
How does your family feel about him? Does your family like him?
They always thought he was like just a nice, clean-cut, normal kind of guy, you know, really determined at work, really wants to make his career work. I mean, that's always like the thing. That when you talk about him, you talk about his career and everything about his career. There's nothing left when you come home. And I feel like he almost does it on purpose. Like, he doesn't have to give anything else when you come home.
Well, a lot of times when the guys are trying to avoid what the reality of their lives are, they really focus a lot on their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they become like workaholics.
Yeah.
You know, because they have to have control over something and they have no control over their personal life. So they use work as, you know, a sense of comfort to them. So
it's just so strange because it's what we've been working for the last 10 years, like getting to this point, you know, where we can be really happy with everything, and then now it's like falling all apart because now that he has nothing left to focus on to get where he's trying to get to, and same thing with me, we're where we want to be, it's like now both of us really are unhappy.
Because you know, he's as far as he can go with his career?
Pretty much, yeah.
So, at least maybe he was able to distract himself by, you know, having something to aim for, but now he's, like you say, he's kind of stuck where he is.
Yeah, that's exactly what I feel like is going on. And he has picked a career where I'll never know what's going on. But he really comes home at 6:30 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, and I don't know if he's really working or not, and I'll never know. And that's the thing that killed me.
Well, you'll be in touch with me, and I hope you will now.
Hello.
I'll be happy to help you with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, I just want you to feel there's hope for you. You can't change him, but you can change.
Yeah.
You know, these guys can't change, but you can change. And you have to feel that there's a way out of this because nobody has to live in this kind of depression because that's what's going to happen to you. You're just going to fall into a deeper hole living with him.
Yeah.
You know, he's not looking to change anything. He's not looking to improve anything. And he's making it like he doesn't have the problem. You have the problem.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's happy with the way things are. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, because if he wasn't happy with the way things are, then he would try to change them. And
exactly.
And I tried
to change
them. You
know what? If he loved you enough, he would try to change them also.
Yeah.
You know, if he was a straight, normal man, I shouldn't say normal because gay men are normal, but they're not normal when they're in marriages to straight women. But if he was a straight husband and he saw that you were so unhappy, he would do whatever he had to try to work with you to try to change that.
Yeah.
But when a gay man's in a marriage like this, he's not looking to make you happy. I mean, he's trying to make himself happy because he's not happy either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's living his own lie, and he's trapped in his own marriage that he's trapped himself in. So he's not concerned about your happiness. He's concerned about finding his happiness.
And I'm the only his first sexual encounter, like, that I know of. But he told me that I was his first, and he was, like, 20 years old then. And that to me was another red flag. I don't know if that is, like, a red flag, but to me that's not like one.
Well, we think it's a red flag. And he may be the first female encounter that he's ever had.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he hasn't had other encounters. But he may have been the first female he was with.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And when you were first with him, was he different?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were totally different. I mean, he was baby, so we didn't see each other that much. And when we did, it was like, you know, young love, crazy love. And we would have sex sometimes a week, you know, like very different.
Right. And in the beginning, like I say, that's what confuses women so much, because a lot of these men can perform heterosexual sex.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in your late teens or your early 20s, any kind of sex feels good.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reality. And a lot of them, you know, in their state of really, and I'm sure he loved you when he married you. I'm sure he cared about you. I'm sure he wanted to be with you. And a lot of times they're hoping that if they love someone enough, that those feelings of love will take away those nagging feelings of those gay attractions.
Mm-hmm.
And they really try. You know, they try to love their wives enough so that those feelings go away. And sometimes they can suppress them for a number of years. But then, all of a sudden, you just don't know when it's going to happen and who it's going to happen with. And the fact that he was such best friends with a gay man would really, you know, trouble me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Because maybe this is what started, you know, arousing what he really is when he was around someone who was gay, who he cared about.
Yeah.
And did that relationship seem to take priority over your relationship with him?
Yeah, definitely. At different times, like, you know, they would go out and hang out, or I wouldn't want him there, around, or whatever. Like, there were definitely times where he... I mean, he took him Valentine's Day out, you know. Definitely times he's taken him priority. Just the other
right,
day.
And that must have really hurt. Here it is, Valentine's Day, and he's out with this guy.
Yeah, but I didn't think about it like that. I just thought about it, well, this is, like, the way it is with us, and we don't celebrate things, and because that's the way that it's been. And I think...
Right, and I think that after a while, we just become used to this way of living. Am I right, Misty?
Yeah. We accept it as what I say. We settle for things. We settle for less when we should be settling for more. And we just continue to make concessions. We continue to, I guess, allow things to go on, because sometimes it's the path of least resistance.
Uh-huh.
And even though it may be a path of least resistance and avoiding an argument or just confronting someone doesn't always mean it's the best thing to do. It's the best thing to do if he has anger issues, then you would be in danger, absolutely. Then, you know, don't do the confrontation and things like that. That's not what I'm even talking about. So, you know, you just have to be so careful and just realize we have this one beautiful life. And what are you going to make of this beautiful life? You know, it's like Bonnie just said, we cannot change them. We can change who we are, and we can have a beautiful life. This side of my life after the marriage is wonderful. I mean, it's magnificent, absolutely. And I had a terrible, terrible marriage that was, not only was he gay, I had to deal with issues of domestic violence, which was even compounded the complication. So, I mean, this side of life is wonderful. It's just so hard when we settle for less and keep making concessions and thinking, this is just the way it is. And, you know, I did that. I made those concessions during those 10 years of marriage. I thought, this is it. This is what marriage is. Because because of my family beliefs and strong family beliefs in Christianity, I thought I couldn't get a divorce. I had to stay because I thought I didn't have a reason to get a divorce.
Exactly. Definitely.
And heaven forbid my family wouldn't understand. But you know what? I can tell you what, after I finally decided to get the courage to get the divorce, my parents were so understanding. It was shocking. The only thing they were upset about is I didn't divorce him sooner. And my whole family, like cousins and stuff, they were like, oh, my God, it's about time, you know. And a lot of people said a lot of things that they hadn't told me before. And it was rather shocking and eye-opening. But, you know, my family to this day are very supportive of the work I do with Straight Wives. They love it that I can do that. And, you know, like I said, the only thing they were upset with was I didn't do it sooner. And it's, you know, and I can't tell anyone what to do, but I can tell you, living a life of settling for less and less and less, being less than a person, letting more of your spirit go, letting more of who you are and what makes you who you are go, just taking it away piece by piece, it's terrible. It's a terrible life. It's not an easy life. And, you know, like she just said, you can change. We can't make others change, but we can change.
You know what? You deserve better. That's the whole thing. You deserve better.
Absolutely.
You deserve more.
You deserve more.
You shouldn't have to settle for the crumbs.
I never knew that there was more. I really, I always think to myself, the grass isn't greener on the other side, and that's what scares me from moving on.
Well, you know what? We have so many women who have moved on in their lives and have found wonderful relationships, and they say it's so different when you have a straight man that you can tell, you know, what you've been missing all the time that you wasted with the gay husband.
I don't even know any different.
Well, right, because you've been with him since you're 15 years old.
Right, and so I don't know any different. Like, and that's what probably the why we lasted this long. I don't even know, because
you've been together for so long, this is the only thing you do know.
Yeah.
But, you know, the best part about it for you is that you know you're not happy.
Yeah.
The fact that you're starting to say there has to be more in life than this, you know, that's the best part, that you're young and you can save yourself years and years. You know, we have women who come to us who have been married for 25, 30, 40, 50 years even.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're senior citizens and they've been married to a gay man their whole entire life.
Yeah.
And their whole life they felt like you feel now.
And that's what I was terrified of.
You know, they didn't know what the problem was. They had no clue because their husbands couldn't be honest with them.
Yeah.
And you know, it was much harder back then to come up with a reason not to be, you know, in a marriage. People just thought, like, you're thinking this is the way life is.
Hmm.
But this is not the way life is. This is the way life is, you know, for people who are not in a normal marriage. You deserve to be happy. And even if you don't have anybody in your life for a while, that's fine. You have yourself.
Yeah.
You have your children. You have your family, and you'll give yourself the chance to meet your soulmate one day when you're ready. May not happen, you know, for a while, but at least you have to build yourself up and find out, you know, who you're about.
Because when you live in this marriage,
you know, you don't even know who you are anymore. You lose yourself to it. Don't you feel that way sometimes?
Oh, yeah. I have no idea who I am. I'm not a clue.
Because you know why? And I'm going to explain this to you, and Misty could confirm this. When we're married to these men who we can never make them happy, we're always trying to do something to make them happy.
Yeah.
Because we always feel that we're the ones who are failing in the marriage. So we don't even know who we are anymore. We just try to keep modeling ourselves to make them want us, to make them desire us, to make them love us,
mm-hmm.
thinking that we're doing something wrong. So we keep trying everything, every little trick in the book to get them hooked, as I say, and nothing's going to work. But in doing all of that, you lose who you really are by just trying to become who you think they want you to be.
Oh, yeah.
And you can never make them happy.
I figure that out now. I mean, I would go to the gym 7 days a week. I have the best shape of my life. I grew my hair long and dyed it blonde. I cut it short, make it brown. I ask, what do you like? Does this look good on me? Do you want me to have short brown hair? Do you want me to have long blonde hair? Like, what do you want? I'll do it. And I did it. I've been there, done that. And now, like, I really...
And nothing works, right?
Why? Right. I mean, I was in the best shape of my life, and there was no man that I could walk up to and want, like, unless they were gay. They would not have probably turned me down. I really feel that way, and he would. He would, for sure.
Well, I think your biggest clue has to be the fact that he's not willing to go for help with you.
Yeah.
You know, if he knows that you're not happy in the marriage and that you're having issues, and that you're not communicating the right way and that you're unhappy, he should want to make you happy. I mean, if he loved you enough, he wouldn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every marriage has had ups and downs, but yours has been continually down. It's mm-hmm. not moving up anywhere. But
he's
satisfied
like
in that thing. Marriage because he doesn't have to do anything more than what he's doing.
Yeah. All he does is maybe he'll hug me a little bit more and give me a couple minutes for like a week, and then it'll go right back to where it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll get my mind off of it, and I won't question him anymore. I won't, like, pursue things. And then it goes right back to the way it was. I'm tired.
Right.
I have a headache. My back hurts. I'm stressed at work.
Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is just because you're not the person he really wants to be with, but he can't deal with that. He's not able to accept that yet himself. You know, he's stuck in a bind also he doesn't know how to get out of. And we were talking about this earlier, and we have a support chat, you know, on Sunday nights. And the sad part is that these guys who can't come to terms with themselves, what they do is after you leave them, they'll find another woman to, you know, hook on to and to make her life unhappy. Because they just can't be honest with themselves.
You know what that would do to a woman is make them feel like maybe he wasn't the right guy, maybe he really left for the wrong reason.
That's
what I would think.
The thing is, anything to accept so that they don't have to accept that they're gay. You know, for these guys, especially when they're young, it's really hard. You know, they really are trying not to be gay. And, you know, especially they come from a religious upbringing where the family won't accept them. I mean, he's probably petrified if he would come out, how his family would feel based on what you've already said.
Yeah.
And, you know, the risk of taking that.
If they love you, wouldn't they think, you know, they care about how you feel more than, like, their other family? You know, the family they've created. You would think
Right?
Right. I guess that's why I would think, like, well, that's why he'll tell me if it's true. But
he has to first be able to admit it to himself. And it takes sometimes these guys a long time to ever even come out and admit it to themselves. You know, it all depends on how suppressed they are by their family relationships, by their upbringing, by the church, by their professions, by their career. You know, he may feel that if anybody knows, he could lose his job. You know, I don't know if you live in a big town or a small town, but, you know, if word got out, how people would look at him, how, you know, if you could...
Small town. Everybody knows him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you live in a small town, if this news would come out, how would that affect him?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think people would be horrible to him if he thinks that they would be. But
mm-hmm.
I think it would be humiliating for him.
Well, I think it's the fear of not knowing.
Yeah.
And the fear of losing, you know, what you think you need to survive. So he's like in a survival mode right now. He's not really happy either because he's living in a situation that he really doesn't belong in. But he's trying to keep it all together because he's afraid of, you know, dealing with the whole situation. And who knows if he'll ever be able to deal with it. But that doesn't mean that you have to be stuck in it.
Right.
You know, you don't have to be living in his, you know, life of deception and in his unhappiness. Because the only one who's really unhappy there, you know, is you.
Yeah.
And that'll start really filtering down to the children. You know, which really isn't fair to them. You know, they need their mother to feel happy, to be of good spirit. And women who think, well, I can hide it from my children. Their children know.
Yeah.
I mean, when your parents weren't happy, didn't you know it?
Yeah. I mean, I always felt like they were happy, so... I don't know. I would always say to my husband, my parents always held hands. My parents always slept in the same bed. My parents always kissed and hugged and went on dates and special occasions. And my father would bring her own flowers for no reason at all. Why don't you do that?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do any of that. And that's the relationship that I saw growing up. I always thought they were happy. And I thought that's the way it's supposed to be. And it doesn't happen at all for me.
Well, look, you said you came from happy parents, right?
Yeah.
So they were good role models for you, correct?
Right.
So you should know what a happy family should be like then.
Yeah, I
guess
I do.
What's his family like?
What's
his family a happy family?
I feel like they force it, too. I feel like his father is there just because he has to be there. Like, they have to stay married. You know, like, they have a business together. They, you know, their religion would never allow it. They would never go that way. They would never do that. So, maybe that's why he does this.
Right, and it could be. You know, he may feel very trapped, just like his father feels trapped in his marriage. But that doesn't have to be your destiny. You're in control of your life. He's not in control of it. You know, and I know it's not easy, and I know sometimes you feel guilty and you feel like, you know, you don't want to break up a family. But this is not a family. This is a family in distress. Mm-hmm. And he's not willing to work on it. And you know what? If he felt like you were really leaving, he would probably tell you that he'll do everything he can to try to make you happy. And he would probably try to make you happy for a few weeks or a few months, because this is what we call the honeymoon period revisited, where, you know, when they feel really trapped that you're going to walk away, they'll try to do everything the right way.
I've done it for a couple months at a time, but he never came to come get me back. I had to go back. And then when we did go back, then he did everything the right way for, you know, a month or two.
But it doesn't last long, right?
No, it never lasts long, ever.
Right, because they can only, you know, pretend for so long.
Yeah, exactly. We had this conversation about me asking him if he was gay last Sunday. And since last Sunday, he's been a little bit more affectionate, pretends like he wanted to have sex with me, and then, you know, he knew I couldn't right then, some time of the month, whatever, so then he knew I would say, oh, we can't right now, whatever, and then he'd fall back to sleep, and that was it, you know, like, now he's like, you know, he came home from work yesterday. I'm tired. He wouldn't talk to me. He seemed really weird. Didn't want to say anything. And every day he told me about his job and work and this and that. There was, like, nothing there. He's been so distant.
There's no emotional connection there.
Yeah, there's none.
No intimacy, right?
No, not at all. I need him to come back in bed.
Even if you can't have sex, you've built up enough intimacy, but you haven't had it to build it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you lay in his arms and he holds you, right?
No, I mean, we haven't slept in the same bed together in like 6 months. And just last week after we talked about all this, you know, I made him come back in bed with me. And then all, you know, I maybe cuddled with him like 2 nights out of the week. And that was it. I mean, but then he just complained the next day that I was pushing him off the bed or whatever.
Well, I think that you have all your answers. I mean, you may not have all your evidence, but I think you know what the situation is. And Misty, wouldn't you say that she's really tuned in?
I would think so. You know, as I tell all women, I'll tell you, trust yourself, trust your intuition. And the next part of trusting your intuition is seeking support. You have to find someone that you trust, someone you can speak to, whether it be like an online chat, like Bonnie hosts, or whether it be a sister that you can talk to, because it's not anything that someone should have to go through this alone, because there will be so many times you question yourself, especially when that they won't admit. So you need that support, someone that's very gentle and loving and caring with you, and they can keep, you know, the secret safe until you make a plan or until you make decisions of what to do.
Yeah.
So support and intuition are two very key factors.
But I think that if you have a good relationship with your family, you need to really have a serious talk with them and tell them that this marriage is just not working.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll be supportive to you, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't see, I mean, I don't think his family would be, but my family would be. His family would want to be
on your side. You know, when you're dealing with the family, that's the side that's important to be helpful.
Right. I mean, I think that your family wants you to be happy. They don't want you to have to be crying and unhappy being in the marriage, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm so close to his family, too. It's like they would never want me to get divorced. They would never want us to separate. And they would, you know, how do you, it's like losing a family, too. I know I wouldn't be welcome back if I did that.
You know what? You won't be welcome back. You can't live your life for his family.
Yeah.
We always tell women, you have to live your life for yourself. You can't please everybody. You have to please you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not, you know, as I tell women, when you take your marriage vows, you know, you take your vows in sickness and health, for better, for worse, but you don't take it for gay and for straight. Yeah. You know, those are things that, you know, we're not taking vows on.
That's
and when there's been mistrust in a marriage and when there's a lack of communication and when there's, you know, lack of intimacy and compassion and passion, you know, you have to do what's best for you. And if his family, you know, wants to just, you know, say, well, they're not having anything to do with you, then that's fine. Your life will move on. You'll have your family.
Yeah.
And even if you had nobody, I tell women, even if you're all by yourself, you know, you'll make friends, you can get support from us. You know, you're not alone in this world. And even though you may feel that way sometimes, you know, there's sacrifices that have to be made.
Yeah.
You know, his family may not understand it, but that's not your problem.
Right.
They have to know that as much as, you know, the last thing you'd want to do is break up a family if things were going right.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they want to pressure him a little bit to get some help or some counseling.
Well, I think that his mom would probably try to do that. But he probably still wouldn't go.
Right. Well,
that's the only way he'd go is to be bottom there.
You know, that's why I say when men are hiding, you know, from a therapist, when they don't want to go for counseling in a marriage, it's because they know that whoever they're going to go to as a professional is going to find things out that they don't want to discuss.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not going to be open. But, I mean, at least he's being honest, because a lot of guys will jerk their wives around and try to go for a few weeks or a few sessions and then try to turn it around. Well, they're being cooperative, but the wife isn't. You know, at least he's being upfront and saying no, he doesn't feel like he needs help.
Yeah. It's more like, oh, yeah, we'll do it, or, you know, we don't have time right now. We're too busy kind of thing. So.
He doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't want to do it. And that makes me think, like, well, maybe we really don't have time. But I know I've gone before. I've made time for myself, you know.
How come when when he left before, how come you went back?
Why did I leave before?
Well, did he leave or did you leave?
I left. I left because we just never communicated. We were always fighting, always arguing, to the point where things would get physical. I left. And I just didn't want my kids seeing that. I wanted them seeing us arguing all the time. And then I came back because where I was living, I didn't have a job at the time. I didn't have a way to support myself. And so I had to come back, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't have stayed with your family?
No. It wasn't like, you know, like, I didn't really have that type of relationship where I could live there with two kids and, you know, be happy and it lasts. And everybody kind of lives on their own one-bedroom apartment kind of thing. And this wouldn't work, and I kind of, like, was forced to come back. And then I also,
right.
You know, made myself feel like, well, I wanted to come back, but it's maybe
mm-hmm.
different. And, but he never tried to come get me. So.
Well, it's never different. You know, maybe temporarily different for a few weeks or a couple months, but then it just reverts back to what it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And don't forget, you have legal rights also as far as child support.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that you do what you have to do to survive for your children. But, you know, he'll be obligated to help you also.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just the way it's going to have to be. Because he can't change. He is what he is. He's not looking to make a change. You've asked him to take that opportunity and go for counseling with you. And he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So that has to be, you know, what has to just appear right in your face. He just doesn't want to make things any better.
Yeah, he really doesn't. For sure.
But do you have my email address?
Yep, I wrote it down. I have it. I definitely
right.
have the email.
And for those people who may want to write, you can always write to me at bondk@aol.com. And when you write me a note, just remind me you're the young lady who spoke with me, and I'll send you plenty of information.
Okay.
And you don't have to feel like you're doing this alone. You know, there's lots of people out there that we have who can give you lots of support.
Okay.
You'll have a whole new network of friends.
Yeah.
Who will understand exactly what you're going through. And
okay.
I'll be happy to share some ways that you can start checking on things with him.
Yeah, I definitely need to do that too.
Okay. Well, like I say, write me a note and I'm happy to do it.
Right.
And
oh,
don't
well.
Feel like you're alone. We're here for you.
Thank you so much. It really put things in perspective for me. So.
I'm so glad. And listen to our back shows. You know, just go to the archives.
Yeah.
And when you hear what other women have to say, you're going to say, you know, I feel like that. And when I send you some of my past newsletters, you're going to see, oh, my goodness, that's exactly how I feel. And women who are married to straight men don't feel like this. I've only met women who are married to gay men who recognize every single thing that we're going through.
Wow. It is really weird.
Well,
they're
I'm so
very
glad
different,
that
and I'm glad I do know that it's supposed to be different in this.
Well, I'm so glad that you called us. And like I say, drop me a note tonight. I'll send you out information tonight.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, and you'll be calling us with happier stories down the line.
I will.
Take care.
Hopefully.
Take care. And my heart's
all right,
with
sweetie. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's so sad, Misty.
I know. You know what's so sad? I remember as she was telling her story, I was in my mid-20s when I started thinking, oh, my gosh, I have to do something. It's not easy. Regardless of the age that you are, it's not easy decisions to make or to think that you're a straight wife. It's such a tragedy at any age when you discover this. It's so sad.
It is, but I always tell women, you owe yourself more than this. You know, women
Absolutely.
Have to believe that they are entitled to happiness in their life. And once again, I work with a lot of women who aren't married to gay men. I tell them the same thing. I mean, you don't have to come up with a million reasons of why you have to make the choices that you need to make. You just have to be unhappy enough and say, I don't want to live like this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best advice I can give women. You don't have to be being beaten down or being in a physically abusive situation. You just have to know that you're not happy. And then you have to get out.
I don't think as women we're really taught that.
I think there's so many complications and so many different issues. And once again, when you're living in an unfulfilling marriage, you know, you start losing yourself and just trying to justify why you're there. And then if there's children involved, and like this young lady said, she was economically kind of forced back into living this life. And we deal with a lot of women who are in that, you know, situation. They're not financially able to leave at the moment they come to us, but we tell women you have to first be emotionally free before you can be physically free. And you have to accept the truth, and you have to be willing to make a plan, and we don't care how long it takes. I mean, you and I have certainly worked with women where it's taken a few years. You know, I think of our friend Gail in Canada, who's always my best role model for, you know, taking the long road to where she had to get. But, you know, we knew it was going to be a process, and it was going to take time, but she knew what she had to do, and she just took her time in planning it so that it would work out to her benefit. And women just can't necessarily get up and move the minute that this happens, but they do have to be at least emotionally free so they can move on physically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It takes plan. It takes support. It takes trusting your intuition when you don't get an admission. And it's a process, the whole process. It's not a cut and dried decision. It's not a decision easily arrived at. You have to go through the process of, you know, just like she just said as she hung up, you know, just by speaking this, you know, she felt like she maybe understood it a little better. Maybe she used the word clarity. She had some more clarity or something because, you know, it's a crazy situation when you're living in the middle of it. That's why I call it dancing in that circle of crazy. You think everything, you don't think you're making any right decisions, and of course you're falsely accusing your mate. And it's just, it's a terrible situation to be in. It's survival at its worst.
It is, and that's exactly what it is. It's existence and it's survival, and I don't believe anybody was meant to live that way. I mean, you have one life in this lifetime. I always tell women, you only get one chance to go around, and you need to be happy. And you have to learn how to cut your losses instead of linger in them for years and years and years. And I think some women just give up, you know, and I've certainly worked with women who have given up. They just don't feel there's any way out. They just don't feel they're going to move ahead. And they've just, you know, decided they're going to live with their fate. But, you know, I don't believe in that. And unlike you, where you say you can't tell anybody what to do, I'm the first to tell them what to do. You know, I don't care, Misty. I tell them anyway. You got to
leave.
Well,
I'm just a little bit soft. I'm just a little bit softer version, okay?
Yes, you are. I'm the tough love counselor. I'm the one who says, get out now. Get out.
We make a good pair, though. We make a good pair.
We want the same ends. It's just that you're there a little lighter than I am on it. But, you know, that brings up our whole topic that we really wanted to discuss tonight, of women who are listening to our show, because this issue has really been coming up so much lately. And we've talked a little bit about it before, about the whole subject of what I now call gay lighting. And that's my new terminology for gay men who are gaslighting their wives. And Gaslight, we've discussed it before, was a movie that was made back, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago. And it was about a gentleman who married this beautiful, wealthy woman. Ingrid Bergman was the woman in the show. And, you know, he kept doing things to make her think she's crazy. So he would move things. He would have, you know, he was in conspiracy with the maid that they had to make her think she's crazy. You know, and in time she just really thought she was losing her mind. And whenever she would confront him on it, you know, he would just be so dominating and so controlling, making her think that she's going crazy. So that's where the term gaslight came from. So the movie was called Gaslight, and the term is gaslighting, when you're trying to make someone crazy. And I think, you know, with us, in so many cases, we have women who are writing to us thinking they are going crazy, and that's why I changed the terminology now to gaylighting, because I think it's very common for gay husbands to want to make their wives think that they're out of their minds, that they're imagining things, that they're seeing things that aren't there, because if they would come clean with the truth, then, the truth would be out, and then they would have to first deal with that. So we see this happening a lot. Wouldn't you say, Misty?
Absolutely. Just as you said that, I was thinking that what came to my mind, I was really fed the crazy diet the whole time during my marriage, meaning when I say that, everything I did or said, he would say, you're crazy. I was told probably 10 to 20 times a day I was crazy. It could be over something as simple as me asking him what he had for breakfast and him saying he had toast when I knew that there were burned bagels, you know, out of the box. Or, you know, just anything so simple. It didn't even have to mean anything that mattered, and that's why I used such a trivial, you know, explanation there. But I was told constantly I was crazy. I remember one time seeing him outside in the middle of the night in a robe on the cell phone. And I said, well, who are you calling this late? I wasn't on my phone. You're crazy. He was on the phone. I mean, it was just, and I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I didn't see him. But, you know, it's all those little things that he always said, you're crazy. You didn't see this, or I didn't do this. No, you didn't see me on the other side of town today. I wasn't there. I was home all day. You know, just all those things. And you begin to question yourself. That's what really happens. And when that starts happening, you're in trouble, and you've been gaylighted, as you call it. I was certainly gaylighted during my marriage.
Right. And if anybody would like to call in and discuss their experiences, please feel free to join us tonight. You can give us a call at area code 646-716-4893. And I think one of the problems why I really resent the gaylighting so much, Misty, is there's a lot more to it than just the fact that you start thinking that you're crazy. For me, it was that I started doubting everything I was doing. I started doubting my ability as a mother, you know, as a woman, as a worker. You know, when you keep doing things and you're being told, well, you must be out of your mind or you're imagining it. And how many times did I see things with my eyes only to be told I'm imagining it, that I'm distorting it, that there's something wrong with the way I'm looking at things? And, you know, you start believing it when you hear it enough. You start really doubting yourself.
You doubt yourself in every area of your life. This doubting spills over into everything, who you are as a parent, who you are as a friend, who you are as a worker, who you are as a professional, all those things. You do begin to doubt yourself, because if you're crazy in one area, you're going to begin to think that you're crazy in other areas of not trusting yourself, of, you know, maybe you're not doing your job as well. Maybe you're not a good friend to other people. Maybe, you know, you're not using as good parenting skills as you should. Just like you said, all those things, it spills into every aspect of your life. and you begin to
And these guys, just don't make you think that you're imagining things about their sexuality, because that would be too simple. So they start making you doubt things about everything you're doing. And that was the whole story with the, you know, gaslighting. No matter what this woman would do, she would see a picture on the wall, and the next minute she wouldn't see the picture, and she would say, what happened to the picture? And he would say, well, what picture? What are you talking about? There was never a picture there. You're imagining it. So it's not just the sexuality issue where they say you're crazy. They start telling you you're crazy about everything because they want to lay that rug of doubt in front of you so that you'll start doubting everything that you're thinking and everything that you're doing. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Absolutely. It was even another good example was with my cooking. I mean, I was a professional cook for a while, and my ex would tell me that my cooking was terrible. He couldn't eat it. No one could eat it. You know, who did I think I was to think I could do something like that? Or, you know, if I would make something, he would discount it, and he would say, well, you used a different recipe. Me knowing I used the same recipe, he would say, no, that's not the recipe you used. And I would even doubt it and think, well, you know, maybe I didn't. Just like the picture being on the wall. You knew it was there. Yeah, I knew I used a certain recipe, and then I would think, well, you know, maybe I didn't add this or add that. Maybe I did do it wrong this time. Maybe it was me. So it's scary how powerful those mind games can be. It really is scary.
And that's exactly what they are. They're mind games. Mm-hmm. And because we're not used to playing them, it's very easy to fall prey to them when you have people who are professionally doing this. Because when these guys are living a lie, they are living a lie every day of their life, and they learn how to manipulate situations. It's not just that, you know, all of a sudden it comes out of the blue. They have to manipulate every day of their life to try to cover their lies. And in doing so, they know how to manipulate you as well and how to make you start doubting yourself. And once again, like the young lady who just called in, when you know you have problems in your marriage and you say to your husband, well, I think we need to get some help, and the first thing they snap back at you is, well, we're not having problems in the marriage. You're having problems in the marriage. I'm perfectly fine in the marriage. You know, they make you start doubting yourself. And I know that I used to hear that in my marriage quite often because my ex-husband didn't want to go for me, you know, go to help and go for help. And, you know, he really didn't want to have to go in front of a professional and have me bring up these things that were on my mind and have somebody say, well, maybe homosexuality is the issue. No, he wasn't ready to deal with that at that point. You know, he was doing everything he could to cover it up. I mean, it took him, you know, a number of years until he was able to be honest with himself. So,
my ex did the same thing with me. I said, you know, let's go to counseling. Let's go to therapy. I don't have any problems. You're the one with the problems. You need to go.
And that's the whole thing. Then they make you feel that there's something wrong with you.
Absolutely.
And, of course, they don't really want you to go for help either because they're afraid that you're going to tell their secrets. So they'll do everything to discourage you from getting help on your own. And I remember that, you know, I was very depressed back, you know, when I was going through my marriage, and I called a counselor one time. I took that calculated risk. And I said to her, you know, I'm really upset. You know, I'm having a lot of problems in my marriage. And I said, I'd really like to get some, you know, marriage counseling. And she says, well, when would you and your husband like to come in? And I said to her, well, he's not coming in. You know, he doesn't want to come in. So she said, well, I can't do marriage counseling with one person. You know, both parties have to be there. And, of course, I was young then. I didn't, you know, I certainly hadn't gone to school to become a counselor yet. And I was just so upset with her. And I thought, well, I'm really having a problem. Why can't she help me? And I said to her, well, I'll tell you the whole story so you can understand everything and then advise me. She said, no, that's not how marriage counseling works. So if women, you know, want counseling, they don't have to go for marriage counseling. Don't get stuck the way that I got stuck by thinking there's no help for you. You can get counseling for yourself. If your husband isn't willing to go for help with you, then you need to go for help for you. Wouldn't you say so, Misty?
Absolutely. You, just like I told the young lady that called in tonight, you know, not only trusting your intuition is a great key factor in this whole puzzle, you know, a missing piece of the puzzle. When you start putting things together, you see the picture of the puzzle. But yet another one is support. You really need that support to stay on track and to realize that you're not crazy. Your suspicions are not crazy. That, you know, you oftentimes are the normal one thinking this thing. However, you're thinking of anything but normal. You're beginning to believe some of the things that are about you that are untrue, and it's so a part of living in the untruth and not who you are. And I think that's where so many problems arise, and where the support is so helpful by a professional, in that, you know, at least you can gain some clarity when you see a professional, you know, by telling your story. It doesn't take both people going in to get help, because always remember, you can't change other people. You can only change yourself. And you can seek support, and you can help change yourself to a professional. And another thing to say is, you know, I always tell people when they pick out a therapist or a counselor or a life coach, whichever it is that they wish to have, you know, realize you're the consumer. The first one may not be a good fit for you. If it isn't, don't give up on it. There are wonderful therapists, counselors, and coaches out there, wonderful, wonderful ones that will fit with you. So it's like a pair of shoes. If they don't fit, take them back. They don't fit, buy a new pair. So don't give up and make sure you seek support. I think that's
right.
Such
you
a
have
key
to seek support from a counselor who's going to understand what you're going through and be your advocate and not try to talk you into doing something that you don't want to do and making you think
Absolutely.
That there's something wrong with you. I mean, there's nothing wrong with you if you're married to a gay man, except the fact that you're married to a gay man. But I'm saying that, you know, it's not your problem, it's not your issues, it's his issues, and it's the problem of your marriage because he's brought it into the marriage. So, I mean, I just feel that this upsets me when I have to think, you know, back to the time when this young lady was talking about going to bed at night crying, you know, because I can feel her pain, because I can't tell you how many nights I used to go to bed crying, feeling that I was empty, that I was lonely, that, you know, I couldn't get my husband to love me the way I needed to be loved. And, you know, like I say, we often buy into, they know how to push the buttons. You know, these guys are very smart. You know, they know how to manipulate things to work to their advantage to make us feel like, you know, we're the ones who are inadequate and we aren't the ones who aren't living up to what we need to live up to. So I know I used to get very upset when that would happen, and I would cry, why can't I be a better wife? Why can't I get him to love me? You know, I would concede to do so many things that I didn't want to do, but I did it in hoping that, you know, he would love me enough that we wouldn't have these problems anymore. So it just never works. Misty, do you have any workshops that are coming up?
I do. I do have a workshop coming up that I think will be wonderful. As always, they're always related to straight wife issues. And the one coming up is October the 9th, which I cannot believe I'm seeing October. I can't believe we're this far into the year. Anyway, this one is, it's a brief one. It will last approximately 2 hours, and it's going to be a Saturday seminar. And the topic is, of all things, self-love, which Bonnie, you and I know is just such an important topic to cover. You know, in the recovery process, you have to learn how to love yourself again, because just like we talked about tonight, so much of you is eaten away in terms of who you are spiritually, who you are as a person, who you are on the inside. It's just taken away bit by bit, piece by piece, through some of the things of the gaslighting or gaylighting, as Bonnie calls it. So, you know, self-love is so important. And the other important component of the Saturday seminar is coming together with other straight wives. That's just such a healing touch when you get to reach out and meet other women from around the world through the comforts of your own home and just by dialing in on your phone to listen to the seminar and participate. I get such wonderful reviews, and that's the next one coming up. I would love to have you. You can always email me for more information. That would be at mistylynhall@aol.com, and that's mistylynhall@aol.com. And I would love to share the Saturday seminar with you, and I hope you can join. If you're a straight wife out there, please do send me an email.
Right, and once again, if you're interested in joining us for our Florida weekend, We still have availability, so just write to me at bonk@aol.com. I think that when you're going through what I call gay husband recovery, the most important thing is to have validation of your feelings, confirmation of what's going on, and to have support. And I get many letters, you know, each week from women who are listening to our show thanking Misty and me for at least being a voice that they can reach out and listen to and to confirm what they're going through and what they're feeling. And sometimes it's the only voice that they're going to hear because women are in all different parts of the country. They can't always get to our support chats on the computer because of the timing, or they're still in their families and they don't want their families knowing they're in support groups. But they can listen to this broadcast at their own convenience because it runs 24/7. You can always listen to any of our archived episodes or listen to our current episodes if you're available live. But the most important thing is to know that you're not imagining this. There is a way out. You don't have to live like this forever. You owe it to yourself to be happy. There's nothing wrong with your happiness being the primary thing that you're looking for. Remember, if you have children, your children can never be happy when you're not happy. And no matter how much you think you're hiding it, or no matter how much you think they don't know, they know it. You have to be role models for your children. You have to do the right things by them. And the right thing for them is by having a happy mother. You know, they can adapt to any situation. A house is not a home. It's only a building, and it can be a little house of horrors if you have to live in a home where there's no happiness. You can always live on less, and, you know, it's just a matter that you can do with less. You can live in a less fancy place. You can live in an apartment. You can live with four walls and yet have peace of mind and be happy. So Misty and I are here to help you find the way to your own happiness, and we just want to let you know that you're not alone. Right, Misty?
Absolutely. That is so important to know that you're not alone. You're not the only person this has happened to, and please reach out. There's lots of great support out there for you, especially through Bonnie's chats, through this radio talk show, through the coaching that I do, and there's just so much great support out there. Please don't feel like you're alone.
And next week we're going to be talking about a subject that's been coming up an awful lot lately also. And we want to have, you know, this discussion with women, so you shouldn't feel that in case you can't make the direct gay connection because your husband has other issues, like going with transgendered people or, you know, transsexuals or people who are dressing up or have other kinds of sexual issues other than just gay. So Misty and I are going to be talking about a lot of those different issues that men go through. And, you know, even if you can't pinpoint gay, it all means the same in the end anyway, whether it's a sexual addiction or going with a transvestite, going with a transsexual, you know, no matter what the situation is, it all means the same in the end, and we all share the same feelings that you feel. So that's what our show will be about next week, Misty, and we'll look forward to having people listen to us again. So Misty and I would like to say thank you for listening to our show, and we hope that it brings you some comfort and confirmation. And we'll be talking to everybody next week. Any final words, Misty?
No, just good night and love to all, and thanks for listening.
All right. Night, and we'll be talking to you next week, next Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good night.
Good night.